Imagine hiring like the smartest developer on earth, sitting them down at your desk, and realizing they have absolutely no idea where any of your files are.
Yeah, just zero context whatsoever.
Right, and they completely ignore your company's security rules, and they confidently try to rewrite your passwords.
Which is obviously a total nightmare scenario.
Exactly. But that is exactly what you are doing every single time you drop a generic AI into your code base. I mean, you are dealing with a brilliant, highly educated generalist who has somehow never actually seen your specific project before.
And it creates this very specific kind of friction, right? The AI is trying to be helpful, but without that local context, it just sort of throws darts in the dark. It guesses.
And those guesses cause massive, massive headaches. So let's ground this with a real developer scenario for a second. We'll call her Maya.
Okay, Maya.
Maya runs a small online shop on her own custom code base. She's not building like massive enterprise software, but she does have strict rules. So she asks her generic AI assistant to add a gift card option.
Which is a completely standard feature request for an e-commerce site.
You would think so. But because the generic AI doesn't know her repository, it just goes completely rogue.
Oh no. Let me guess, fake files.
Yep. It invents fake file names that don't even exist in her directory. It completely ignores her strict non-negotiable rule that, all payments must go through the billing service.
Wow.
And the cherry on top, it suggests editing her secure API keys to make the feature work.
I mean, which introduces a massive security vulnerability. So the developer is suddenly forced into this role of like a babysitter.
Totally. Maya ends up spending an hour just cleaning up these confident but wrong guesses. And she has to do this cleanup every single session.
Right, because the generic AI resets its context every time she opens a new window.
Yes, it's Groundhog Day, but with code review.
The cleanup literally takes longer than just writing the code yourself. And, this is the exact bottleneck stopping developers from truly integrating AI into their daily workflow. We expect a seasoned assistant, but we get a chaotic intern.
So our mission for this deep dive is to explore how to stop fighting that chaotic intern. We're looking at a collection of developer documentation, architecture briefs, and user guides for a tool called a meta harness.
Yeah, and this tool proposes a way to fix this whole mess in about 60 seconds.
Which is wild. We're talking about turning a guessing AI into a custom Project Smart assistant.
But to understand the fix, we first have to redefine the problem. The industry instinct right now is to just sit around and wait for a smarter AI model.
Like, oh, GPT-7 will fix it.
Exactly. But the professionals building actual enterprise-grade systems take a totally different approach. They build a harness.
Okay, let's unpack this because the AI itself, whether it's Claude, GPT, whatever comes next, is basically like an expensive genius freelance consultant you just hired.
That's a great way to put it.
They are brilliant. They know every programming language ever created, but without a harness, you haven't given them the company handbook, or the floor plan or an ID badge.
You've basically just dropped them in the lobby and yelled, "Fix the billing system."
Right. A harness is the wrapper that gives them those tools and rules.
Yeah, you are providing the localized memory and explicit guardrails required to apply their general intelligence safely. And that safety aspect is paramount.
Because they can do damage?
Exactly. A proper harness isn't just about giving the AI new abilities, it's primarily about restricting them.
Wait, why would I want to restrict my expensive genius consultant? I mean, I want them doing as much as possible, right?
Well, think back to Maya. You do not want the AI casually deciding to rewrite your secret keys.
Oh, yeah, fair point.
So the foundational safety net of a harness is this concept called default deny. By default, an AI operating inside a proper harness has no network access, no shell access, and absolutely no file write permissions.
It's basically locked in a box.
Exactly. It's in a box.
Okay.
So it can't actually do anything until you explicitly hand it the keys.
You have to deliberately grant it permission to use specific tools for specific directories.
Right. And this default deny posture stops the AI from hallucinating a destructive command. Like it might suggest deleting a secure file, but the harness physically intercepts and blocks the action.
So it's a structural barrier.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is, wait, no, I totally just stole your line.
Huh. We could share it. But yes, what's fascinating here is the core philosophy driving this entire approach, which is that the AI model is replaceable. The harness is the actual product.
And that completely shifts the entire perspective on AI development. I mean, we spend so much time debating which large language model is slightly smarter this week.
Right, the benchmark wars.
Yeah, but the argument in these docs is that the model is just an interchangeable engine. The harness, the localized memory, the routing rules, the default deny safety net, that is the valuable compounding asset you are building for your repository.
Because models will inevitably leapfrog each other every few months. But your project's context, your specific billing logic, your file hierarchy, your coding standards, that remains constant.
You want to swap the engine without having to rebuild the entire car.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense in theory, but hand-building a custom AI wrapper with all these model context protocol servers, memory scoping, and complex security policies, I mean, that takes days, maybe weeks of expert engineering work.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you try to take a shortcut and just fork someone else's pre-bundled setup, you freeze yourself out of all their future updates. You are trapped on whatever version you copied.
It becomes a total maintenance nightmare. A developer running a small shop, like Maya, doesn't have a week to architect custom AI infrastructure.
Which brings us to the core mechanism of MetaHarness. It is not another agent framework. It is a factory for agent frameworks.
Right, it's a generator.
Yeah, it's a command line interface that mints a custom AI agent harness out of thin air, tailored specifically to whatever code base you pointed at.
Let's look at Maya's workflow after utilizing this factory, because the before and after is pretty stark.
So Maya opens her terminal inside her shop's repository and runs a single command, npx metaharness. And in about 60 seconds, this factory analyzes her project and spits out an npm package built entirely for her.
Yeah. So instead of talking to a generic AI, she now runs her own custom command, npx MayaShot.
The agent now possesses her branding and her specific project identity.
And crucially, it already knows every file in her store. It explicitly knows and follows her rule that payments must go through the billing service. And it remembers the project state between her sessions.
So when she asks it to add a gift card option,
it doesn't guess. It looks at the real files, follows the established patterns, and it works on the first try.
The whole dynamic shifts from constantly correcting an intern to actually collaborating with a senior engineer who knows your code base inside out.
But I have to push back here for a second, because any developer listening is going to have their alarm bells ringing right now.
Oh, the security question.
Yeah. If this tool analyzes my entire code base in 60 seconds to build a custom harness, is it running my code behind the scenes? Like, what about my security? What if it executes a malicious script buried deep in some random node module while it's, quote unquote, analyzing? It's a very valid concern. But the architecture addresses that vulnerability directly. It never executes your code.
Really? Never?
Never. The entire process relies on deterministic static analysis.
Okay, but how does it understand my project if it's not actually running it?
Think of it like a cartographer mapping a territory from a satellite instead of walking the ground. It reads the file tree, it parses your manifest, like your package.json, and it evaluates the language mix of the repository.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it uses that static surface level data to infer which skills and agent profiles are required. It never runs an NPM install. It never executes a build script.
But what if my project requires specific build commands to function? The AI needs to know how to compile my work right.
Well, the factory might infer those build commands based on standard patterns. But when it emits them into the harness, it tags them with a very specific label, trust, inferred, and execution, disabled.
Right. Oh, so it's essentially saying, hey, I think this is how you build the project, but I have disabled my own ability to actually press enter.
Precisely. You have to manually review and flip that toggle to enable execution. Furthermore, this entire static analysis happens locally on your machine.
So nothing goes to the cloud.
No repository data is ever bundled up and sent to some remote MetaHarness server for processing.
Okay, so Maya's local setup is secure, it's fast, and it's project aware. But software is rarely built in a vacuum, right? The moment she hires her first contractor, she risks introducing the exact same generic AI chaos she just eliminated.
Exactly.
So how does she scale this customized assistant across a team?
She packages the harness.
Yeah.
Because MetaHarness outputs a standard NPM package, Maya can literally publish her custom MayaShop agent to her team.
That's convenient.
Yeah. So her freelancers just run that command, and instantly they boot up the exact same Project Smart Assistant.
We basically eliminate the "it works on my machine" problem, but for AI.
Exactly.
But publishing AI permission wrappers sounds incredibly risky. If a freelancer downloads it, how do they know some bad actor didn't intercept the package and sneak in a rule giving the AI permission to exfiltrate secret keys?
So the system implements what's called an ED2551-THEED signed witness manifest.
Let me try to translate that. Is that essentially like putting a tamper-proof wax seal on a letter?
That's a highly accurate way to visualize it, yeah.
Yeah.
The signature mathematically guarantees that the package Maya uploaded is the exact bit-for-bit package her freelancer downloaded.
So no tampering whatsoever.
Right. If even a single character in the AI's permission file is altered, if the wax seal is broken, the signature becomes invalid, and the system flat-out refuses to boot the agent.
Wow. That creates an incredibly strong foundation of trust for team collaboration. But let's talk about the actual day-to-day operation here, because running these massive frontier-level AI models for every single task is wildly expensive.
Oh, the API costs can be brutal.
Right. If a developer uses a top-tier model just to, like, format a JSON file or write a basic unit test, those bills are going to skyrocket.
The economics of AI development are a massive hurdle right now, and this is exactly where the harness incorporates a built-in router.
Okay, so how does this router actually function? It's not just randomly assigning tasks, right?
No, think of it like a hospital triage nurse. You do not send a patient with a scraped knee to the chief of surgery.
Right.
So when you give your custom AI assistant a prompt, the router acts as that triage nurse. It intercepts the request and evaluates its complexity.
But wait, how does it grade that complexity without actually running the full task first?
It utilizes lightweight heuristics and very small classifier models. It looks at the token length, the semantic complexity of the prompt, and the number of specific tools required.
Okay, give me an example.
So if you ask it to fix the spelling error in the header, the classifier scores that as low complexity.
And the triage nurse sends the scraped knee to the cheapest available model.
Exactly. It routes that prompt to a model that costs literal pennies. But if you ask it to architect a new database schema and update the migration files, the classifier flags that as high complexity, and the router directs it to your expensive frontier-level model.
This triage system must drastically change the cost calculation for a team.
Oh, completely. The benchmark testing for this, it's called the DiArco benchmark in the docs, shows some wild results.
What kind of results?
According to the data, a small, cheap model can actually deliver frontier-quality research at roughly one-tenth the cost.
One-tenth? Just because of the routing?
Well, the smaller model performs at that elevated level specifically because it is operating inside the harness. You are giving a 10-cent model the perfect, hyper-specific working environment, which allows it to punch massively above its weight class.
So you stop paying premium API prices for routine coding labor.
Exactly.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The architecture outlines a feature called Darwin mode.
Oh, this is my favorite part.
The term Darwin mode implies evolution, which makes me think this harness is somehow killing off weak pumps and keeping the strong ones. But how does a software wrapper actually evolve without the user going in and manually changing the code?
So the evolutionary loop is entirely automated. When Darwin mode is activated, the harness actually begins to mutate its own configuration.
Mutate? What exactly is mutating?
The text and logic defining the agent's behavior. The harness will tweak the phrasing of its system prompts, maybe rewrite the descriptions of its internal tools, or adjust the weighting logic in that router we just discussed.
So it's tweaking its own instructions.
Right. It generates dozens of slightly different versions of itself.
But a mutation isn't inherently good. Like, it could mutate into something that completely breaks the workflow.
Which is why the next step in the loop is isolated testing. The harness takes these new mutations and tests them in a closed sandbox against a strict fitness function.
How does it measure fitness?
It uses standardized evaluation benchmarks, like SWE Bench Lite, which throws real-world GitHub issues at the agent to see if it can resolve them.
So it basically A-B tests itself. Version A tries to fix the bug. Version B tries to fix the bug.
Yes. It measures the success rate, the speed of resolution, and the token cost. If a mutation makes the agent slower or less accurate, the harness ruthlessly discards it.
Just throws it out.
But if a specific tweak to a tool description measurably improves the bug fixing rate, it saves that mutation to the master configuration.
That is wild. It is running millions of tiny experiments to optimize its own performance. And I guess because of the default deny safety gate we established earlier, it can run this evolutionary loop safely.
Exactly. It's completely sandboxed. It's just doing pure refactoring and tuning without any risk of accidentally, you know, emailing your customer database or something. Mm-hmm. If we connect this to the bigger picture, what we are really witnessing is the complete separation of raw intelligence from workflow execution.
How so?
The underlying AI model, whether it's the Claude or the GPT, remains completely frozen. It just provides the cognitive horsepower. The harness is what actively learns to be a better employee for your specific repository.
Right, it learns the localized ecosystem. It figures out that in Maya's shop, database queries work better if the instructions are phrased in a very specific way.
Exactly. It adapts to the ecological niche of the project.
It is an assistant that organically sharpens its skills every single week, requiring zero manual configuration from the developer.
None at all.
So, what does this all mean for you listening right now? We've traveled from the daily frustration of an AI guessing its way through Maya's e-commerce shop to a self-evolving cost routing factory that builds customized intelligence wrappers in 60 seconds.
It's a huge leap.
It really is. The core takeaway here is that you do not need to wait for a smarter generalist model. You need your AI to actually know your world, to map your territory, and to respect your boundaries. You need a harness.
And the true paradigm shift is the accessibility of that harness. Building a bespoke AI environment no longer requires a dedicated infrastructure team.
Right. Any developer can do it now.
And that reality invites a really provocative thought about the future of software distribution. The system docs mentioned that it already includes 19 vertical templates.
Like pre-configured architectures?
Yeah, pre-configured for coding, legal analysis, quantitative trading, customer support.
Ready-made foundations for almost any industry. So what does that mean for the future?
Well, consider the implications for open source development. If generating a branded, customized AI agent is as simple as a one-minute command line entry, the whole era of cloning a complex repository and struggling to understand it on your own might be over.
Wait, are you suggesting repositories will ship with their own intelligence attached?
Absolutely. In the near future, every GitHub repository could ship with its own custom AI agent built right in as a standard dependency.
Oh, wow.
You clone the project, and you instantly have a localized expert assistant ready to explain the architecture, enforce the maintainer's contributing guidelines, and write boilerplate code exactly the way that specific community expects it to be written.
So you aren't just shipping static code anymore. You are shipping the intelligence required to successfully modify that code.
Exactly.
That lowers the barrier to entry for complex open source contributions to near zero. I mean, you never have to guess what the maintainer wants because their custom agent is sitting right there to guide you.
It fundamentally changes the dynamic of software collaboration forever.
It really does. So if you are tired of playing babysitter to a confident but ignorant AI, you don't need to learn a bunch of dense framework jargon. You don't need to spend your weekend hand-coding complex security protocols and memory servers.
You really don't.
You just need to give your AI the map to your territory. You just need to open your terminal NPX meta harness.